We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Greg Rabe.
Let's go. Let's get it on. Oh, Peters.
Oh, we've got a fight. Thornton and Rabe are exchanging punches.
The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
I look at all the lovely people. I look at all the lovely people.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding is being.
Welcome back to The Instigators on this Tuesday. PD had to leave, so it is me, Marty Baron, and Craig Rive for the rest of the show. Quick PSA here. The Canadian-U.S. borders will remain closed until August 21st. So it was announced, and I saw it on Twitter, although they've been doing that of late. So they had said July 21st, and it says July 31st. Now they're saying August 21st. It could be longer than that, so... it looks as though the borders will remain closed for non-essential travel. I know a lot of you have cottages back on the Canadian side or have family members over there. It's going to be a little longer before you can go back to Canada, and that's just the way it is. Two, Rivs, we heard Brayton in the update talk about the 10 Lindsay Award, and the nominees have been announced. Leon Draisaitl, Nathan MacKinnon, and Artemi Panarin are your three nominees voted by the players for the most outstanding player in the National Hockey League. That's basically the criteria. The most outstanding player in the National Hockey League this year. What do you make up of Draisaitl, MacKinnon, and Panarin?
I think that Leon Draisaitl is without a question. He is going to win the Ted Lindsay. Artemi Panarin had a phenomenal, and I mean phenomenal, season this year. Nate MacKinnon, another player that had a fantastic season. But I'll tell you this, are you not a little bit surprised right now that David Pastrnak is not in this?
No. Are you not a little bit surprised that Connor McDavid is not in the top three? He's the best player in the National Hockey League. I understand.
Is he the best player in the National Hockey League this year?
Connor McDavid is the best player in the National Hockey League. And listen, he had 97 points in 64 games. When you look at points per game, okay, he is 0.03 points per game behind Draisaitl. So Draisaitl's at 1.55 points per game. McDavid is at 1.52. The next closest is Panarin at 1.38. There's a huge gap between Draisaitl and McDavid. So before we talk about Pastrnak, who had 48 goals, I understand that, and 95 points. I mean, McDavid only played 64 games, and he was nearing in on 100 points again this year. So I think McDavid was was robbed of at least a nomination. I think he was second. It should have been second in that list.
David Pastrnak, in 70 games this year, had 48 goals, yes. 95 points, and wait for it, Marty, plus 21. Connor McDavid was minus 6.
Don't give me the plus minus.
Leon Draisaitl was minus 7. How in the heck can you be a minus player and have 97 points, Marty? How can you be minus 6? Connor McDavid was minus 6 and he had 97 points. That means he was on the ice for 7 more goals against, even though he had 97 points. David Pastrnak was plus 21. Artemi Panarin was plus 36.
Plus 21. Revs, give him the Selkie.
So what are you saying? Are you saying plus minus doesn't have anything to do with this?
No,
you're crazy.
Listen, so if you're gonna build, I'm gonna build a case against David Pastrnak. He was tied for first in goals, but really Ovechkin is ahead because Ovechkin's played 2 less games. Okay, so there's that. He was not even in, even strength goals. He is 5th in even strength goals this year. Matthews, Ovechkin, Kucherov, and Kyle Connor are ahead of Pastrnak in over even strength goals. He's not in the top of the league in points. When you look at points, you look at Draisaitl, McDavid, then it's Panarin and Pastrnak. So Panarin is in the list because he did some amazing things in New York. I totally get that. Pastrnak is alongside Marchand. He's alongside Bergeron. He's a great player, but I can make a case for 5 other guys ahead of Pastrnak this year for the most outstanding players. And I probably could make a case for Jack Eichel being more outstanding than David Pastrnak this year.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back with more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Well, Rivs, I don't know if it was the Beatle or Eleanor Rigby or whatever song we played earlier that made us go off the air, but you were in the middle of talking about David Pastrnak and making a case for Pastrnak to be a top 3 finalist for the Ted Lindsay Award. Now, Just a reminder, the Ted Lindsay Award is voted by the players, and it is given to the most outstanding player in the National Hockey League, voted by the National Hockey League Players Association. So, the 3 finalists are Draisaitl, Panarin, and Nathan MacKinnon. No Connor McDavid. I'm extremely surprised of no Connor McDavid, but you said no David Pastrnak, so I'm going to give you a chance to double down on David Pastrnak. We'll talk about this. We've got a few more things I want to talk about, and we have this or that. There's a lot going on, so let's get her going. David Pastrnak, build it. Build it for me because I want to take it down.
Well, listen, it's very simple. David Pastrnak was tied for third in the league in scoring this year. He had 95 points in 70 games, plus 21. He's plus 21. Here's the thing that separates him from every player in the National Hockey League. He is an elite scorer. David Pastrnak in 70 games this year had 48 goals. 28 of those goals were even strength. So he's an even strength goal guy, but he's also the number one player in the National Hockey League when it came to goals on the power play. He had 20 power play goals. He's got the shot. He's got the ability to make your power play elite. And I just think his ability to make plays, not only is he a great a shooter, but he's also a guy that can make plays. And, you know, he's got 47. Yep.
So obviously you can build a case for Leon Draisaitl that he's a better, a most outstanding player or a more outstanding player than David Pastrnak, right?
Yes, I can.
Can you build a case for Connor McDavid?
It would be a little bit tougher for me to make that case for Connor McDavid, only on the fact that he's a minus player in the National Hockey League.
Okay, how about
it's mind-boggling to me, Marty, that a player like Connor McDavid, who's second in the league in scoring with 97 points, but he's a minus 6. Can you actually think about what we're talking about here? He had 43 points this year on the power play, Connor McDavid, 43 points. So do the math. He has what, 53 points, right? 53 points this year, even strength. That means that he's been on the ice for 59 goals against.
Oh, no, it doesn't mean that. That means maybe there's shorthanded goals. Maybe there is.
Oh, come on.
It doesn't mean
that. Okay, so listen. Don't bring me that, Marty.
He doesn't get points. Like, listen.
Marty, hold on a second. Don't bring me that crap. Because
okay.
How many they were one of the top teams in the Western Conference. So my question to you, Marty, is how many open net points did he get? Did he have more open net goals or assists than he did against? I'll tell you right now, I bet you he has more because they won more games because they were probably, like, he probably had, you know, goals and assists in open nets. That means you're getting a plus one.
I'm going to look it up because I know there's a way to do that and find the empty net assist and empty net points. But here's one stats that stands out most between Connor McDavid and David Pastrnak in my book, okay? And why Connor McDavid, in my opinion, should be considered the best player in the National Hockey League, not just a top three, but, you know, I wouldn't vote it for the MVP. I'm giving this to Leon Draisaitl, what Draisaitl did with the Edmonton Oilers. Even when McDavid was injured, I say, Draisaitl, you win the heart this year, you win the MVP, I'm good. But I would have voted McDavid as most outstanding player because he is by far the best player in the National Hockey League. He's by far the best player in the National Hockey League. One stats that separate Connor McDavid and David Pastrnak, that's really important. Connor McDavid plays on average 21 minutes and 52 seconds a game, which is third in the National Hockey League forwards behind Draisaitl, who's number one, and Jack Eichel, who's number two. David Pastrnak, you have to go all the way to 47th amongst forward in the National Hockey League at 18 minutes and 58 seconds. So there's more than 2 minutes of ice time, almost three, that Connor McDavid plays that Pastrnak doesn't. Connor McDavid is on the ice a lot more, does a lot more in situation that Pastrnak does. I get Pastrnak's got the shot and got the goals, but for me, McDavid is the ultimate top player.
Let me put this in perspective for you so you can understand this, Marty. The top 30 scorers in the National Hockey League, the best top players, point producers in the National Hockey League. Do you want to know how many of those top 30 are minus? Go ahead and guess. Don't look it up.
Well, there's going to be, well, okay, so I'm not looking it up. So I'm going to say Dreisaitl and McDavid because they play for the Edmonton Oilers. And then I don't know who's really Jack Eichel. No, he's in the plus, right?
Jack Eichel played on a horrendously bad team, and he was still plus five.
Yeah.
The top 30 point producers in the National Hockey League, how many of those players are a minus player?
Is there just Dreisaitl and McDavid, or is there only two?
There is one more. One more player. You want me to? Who's an unbelievable?
Oh no, Rivs, you froze. Say that again. You froze.
Who is a unbelievable goal scorer but sucks defensively?
Ovi.
There you go. There's your only three players in the top 30 scorers. Alex Ovechkin, who is a terrible defensive player, but he is an elite goal scorer, okay? He was minus 12. There's only three players in the top 30 that are minus. Leon Dreisaitl, Connor McDavid, and Alex Ovechkin. That, to me, is not good. When you're putting up 110 points, when you're putting up 97 points, the two top players in the league, and you're a minus player, that means you're on the ice for more goals against than what you're producing, Marty.
Yeah, okay.
That is a big problem.
But the Washington Capitals and the Edmonton Oilers are in the top five of teams that have given up the most shorthanded goals this year. So obviously Dreisaitl, McDavid, and Ovechkin are going to be on the ice for those shorthanded goals, and that's a minus one right there. So, and then you look at the Boston Bruins, for example.
Marty, you're talking about it again. You're taking a Leon Dreisaitl and a Connor McDavid, and you're going to tell me that they're going to get minuses because at the end of a game, when they're trying to tie the game up, they're going to take a minus some nights. I want to ask you, how many nights did Connor McDavid and Leon Dreisaitl get a point and a plus one because they scored in an open net goal because the other team was trying to catch up?
I will say this. And I don't know because I've not done the homework, but years and years ago, when we talk about old school hockey and talking about plus minus, the hockey people used to say your best players start the season at minus 10 because they're going to be minus five from shorthanded goals, and they're going to be minus five from empty net goals that are going to go in. So your best players start at minus 10. That was
what do you mean? What do you mean shorthanded goals? You don't get a minus for being on the
PK. No, if you're on the ice on the power play and you give up a shorthanded goal, you get a minus.
Come on.
So you're going to be on for
What? You're going to tell me that you're going to add minuses to a team that gets scored on the power play? Come on, Marty.
No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying Jack Eichel with the Buffalo Sabres. In your mind, you have to think that he starts the season at minus 10 because minimum five times in a season, he will be on the power play where his team gives up a shorthanded goal and he gets a minus. And minimum five times, he will be on the ice at the end of the game when the Sabres pull their goalies and he's trying to get the equalizer and there's an empty net. So technically, he's starting minus 10.
Listen to me. That is hogwash, okay? I'm going to say that Leon Dreisaitl and Connor McDavid is going to start by being a plus player. And the reason why that is they're going to be on the ice at the end of the game when another team pulls their goaltender and Leon Dreisaitl and Connor McDavid steal the puck, go down the ice, and score in an open net. I believe that they're going to be a plus player in that situation.
Okay. Let me look
at... You need to do the homework on this because okay.
I'm going to give you the Edmonton Oilers this year. You want to know how many times they have scored with the goalies pool this year?
Yes.
They have scored 3 goals at 6-on-5 and 2 goals at 6-on-4. So that is 5 goals this year that they have scored with the goalie pool. Now, I would think that one or two of those goals are probably on a delayed penalty when your goalie's pulled and you're on the ice 6-on-5 or 6-on-4. So they've not scored 10 empty net goals. They scored 5 goals with the goalie pulled altogether, okay? And then let's see the goals against.
This is where either someone's going to be having bragging rights here.
No, I'm not saying bragging rights, but let's see the goals against at 6-on-5.
6-on-5. This is the telltale sign. You're saying
9 6-on-5 goals and 2 6-on-4 goals. So they're 11 goals against with the goalie pulled and 5 goals for with the goalie pull. So they're minus 6 right there with the goalie polls this year. You want to see the Boston Bruins stats in that department?
That would help a lot because Boston now what Bruins. You're saying is Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid are on the ice. And what you're saying is there's a difference of 6 goals. Connor McDavid is going to be minus 6 in those. And so is Leon Draisaitl, which would put Connor McDavid at even and Leon Draisaitl at minus 1.
Okay, so now the Boston Bruins gave up 9 goals with their goalie pulled, and they have scored, they've only scored 3. So they're minus 6 in that department.
So explain to me how Pastrnak is plus 21. Explain to me how Brad Marchand is plus 25.
Oh, because that line with the Boston Bruins dominates at 5-on-5. They do.
Oh, what you're saying is Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid don't dominate? I thought you just said that they were the best in the world.
They are the best in the world. Okay, I'm going to give you this.
Why is Connor McDavid a minus player? Leon Draisaitl?
Who says no? Boston offers David Pastrnak for Connor McDavid to the Edmonton Oilers. Who says no?
I'm not answering that, Marty. I'm not answering.
That's a good argument to find out who the best player is. Who says
no? No, stop for a second here. We're not talking about me going and trading Connor McDavid for another elite player. I'm not talking about that. I'm not saying, hey, you know, Artemi Panarin, you know, would you trade Artemi Panarin right now for Connor McDavid? We're not talking about that. We're talking about who is the greatest player this year. Do I believe that Connor McDavid is the best player in the game right now? Yes, I do.
Okay.
Two years ago, I did not say that. I said Sidney Crosby is still the king of the castle. But right now, as we're talking, Connor McDavid is taken over as king of the castle. He's standing at the top of the hill. I would not trade anybody in the National Hockey League for Connor McDavid. But that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is did Connor McDavid get slighted in the 10 Ted Lindsay trophy voting? And the answer is no, because Artemi Panarin, who had 95 points this year, he was a plus 36. Explain to me, Marty, how he's plus 36 and Connor McDavid is minus 6.
Well, like I said, it comes down to the even strike play, and I think that the Boston Bruins are a better team than the Edmonton Oilers. So that is what it comes down to.
No. I didn't say Pastrnak. I'm now using Artemi Panarin. Artemi Panarin's New York Rangers are a very, very average team. Explain to me why Artemi Panarin, who has 95 points, where Connor McDavid had 97, Connor McDavid had 64 games, Artemi Panarin had 69. Explain to me how one player is minus six and another player is plus 36. That means he's on the ice for 36 more even strength goals, where Connor McDavid, he sucks defensively.
Okay.
So this is very simple. Leon Draisaitl is going to win the Ted Lindsay because he has 110 points. He has 15 more points than a guy like Artemi Panarin. Okay. He's going to win. But when you're talking about Connor McDavid being in the mix, he's not in the mix because he's a minus hockey player. Like I said, there was only three players in the top 30 that are minus. That's Draisaitl, Connor McDavid, and Alex Ovechkin. Everybody else is a plus player. That's why Connor McDavid is not in the voting. That's why Nate McKinnon, who had 93 points this year and a plus 13, that's why he's in the voting. If Connor McDavid...
I want to know, like, and I don't know if the Players Association puts out the numbers, but I want to know how close it was from McDavid to be in the top three. Because I would have to guarantee you McDavid is fourth, but he had to be close. And players like you, Rives, are...
Was he fourth? Or David Pastrnak fourth? David Pastrnak was a plus 21 with 48 goals. He led the league in goal scoring. Maybe Connor McDavid was fifth. And to sit there and say Connor McDavid was fifth, no one's going to argue that.
Maybe you're right. And I think some players see it exactly the way you see it. And they will say, Connor McDavid, the best, most explosive skater, puck handler, best player in the National Hockey League. But I am worried about his defensive side. And for that reason alone, I'm not going to call him the most outstanding player in the National Hockey League. And I think some people definitely have thought the same way you have thought because he's not in the top three. So it's clear to me that there is that train of thoughts out there. Listen.
Last year, the year before, in 2018-19, Connor McDavid had 41 goals and 116 points. Did he win the Ted Lindsay last year? Who did he do?
Yeah, I think he did.
He had 116 points. He was a plus three. The year before that, he had 100 and.
It was Kane, Kucherov, and McDavid for the nominees, and I believe McDavid won it last year. But
because Kucherov, did he not have 128 points that year?
Last year?
In 2018-19 season, I'm pretty sure that Kucherov had 128 points that year.
Yeah. So here's the thing. 2019 NHL Awards result, Tampa Bay Nikita Kucherov takes home his first career Ted Lindsay Award.
There you go. Yeah, that's and what was his plus minus, Marty?
Oh, I don't remember. So McDavid won it in 17 and 18, and then Kucherov and Kane were also nominated last year, and Kucherov won it.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now what Kucherov, when he won the Ted Lindsay in the 2018-19 season. So he had 41 goals. He had 128 points. He was plus 24, Marty.
Yeah.
Plus 24. Big. Understand when, think about this, how bad defensively you have to be. If you put up 110 points, like Leon Draisaitl, when you put up 97 points like Connor McDavid, do you know how bad defensively you have to be minus?
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
I think I won this argument, Marty. I won this argument. I think the people out there listening, they love Connor McDavid, and there's no question he's going to win a lot of Ted Lindsay awards, but this year he does not deserve to be in the top three in the voting.
I'm still thinking Connor McDavid's the greatest player in the league and should have won the Ted Lindsay this year. But you make good points. And I'm sure players voted thinking exactly the way you're thinking. But if I had to write a name down on my ballot, it's MC capital DAVID. That's the way it
Marty, is. Just because he is the best player in the world does not mean he's going to win these trophies every single year. There's other players that come out of the woodwork, like Kucherov wins last year. You have now Leon Draisaitl, who went from a very good player to now an elite player. Every year, the thing with McDavid is every year he's going to be in the voting. It doesn't mean he needs to win every year. He doesn't deserve to be in the top three this year, but I bet you he's in the top five. He's going to be in the top five until he's 35 years old.
Yeah. I still think historically the best player in the game was always at least a nominee, at least in the top three. And that's why I'm shocked that he's not even in
the top three. That's not true. That's not true, because there was a time when Evgeny Malkin won the scoring title that year for Pittsburgh, and Sidney Crosby probably didn't make the top three. And that's okay. Were we saying that Malkin is a better player than Crosby? No, we're saying that year Malkin had the best season. Sidney Crosby was still the best player, though.
Well, I mean, I would have to go back and look, but I would think that if Crosby was healthy and was performing to his level, he was there. But anyway, listen, we only have a few minutes here before our last break of the show to do a little this or that. And I wanted to make sure I got a couple this or that's in with you, just because yesterday camp opened up all around the National Hockey League, and it brought us some great sound bites. It brought us some great look. You've got guys that have, you know, their hair is overgrown. You got guys that have beards overgrown. And it just adds some flair to hockey being back on the ice. So one thing I want to ask you, Ribs. The teams have brought back 30 players, 31 players in some instances. So 30 bodies on the ice is a lot. But some teams have opted for one big practice with 30 bodies on the ice, or they've opted for two smaller groups of, you know, 12 to 15 on the ice at the time. So this or that, which one do you like better? The one big practice with everybody, or the two smaller group practices to have in camp? This or that, big practice or small groups?
Very, very, very simple for me. I would definitely want to split up the two teams into 15-15. I want a quick pace. These guys need to get their brains into hockey elite mode. You need a smaller group of players on the ice, so the tempo and pace of those practices are going to be much quicker. I do not want guys standing around because there's 30 guys on the ice. I want small, I want quick, I want aggressive. These guys need to get their brains back into the elite pace of the game. So definitely going to split the two teams up into smaller groups.
Okay, well, I was going to say split, but for a different reason, because most teams have three or four goalies, and I do not want to have to share a net in practice while I'm trying to get ready for the playoffs. So split the goalies.
So are you counting goaltenders in the 30?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know goaltenders were counted as players.
Yes, they are. So, but still... Let's move on, because right now I would like mute you. If I could, I'd press mute on your screen. Okay, how about this one? We heard some great cliches yesterday, and you know, restarting the season, the cliches are coming up. So which one is the most overused cliche? We heard, wow, best practice of the season already, one practice into the books. This was the best practice of the season. Or he's in the best shape of his career. What is the most overused cliche? Best practice of the season or best shape of his career?
Well, listen, I mean, this comes down to, you know, when you keep telling yourself this, you want to, as much as you're training your brain to get back into the hockey mode, you need to absolutely do the same thing for your brain. And you need to tell yourself how good you are. You need to tell yourself how hard you trained in the quarantine. You need to tell yourself you're in the best shape of your entire life. Meanwhile, you didn't have any weights or a bike at home.
Yeah.
But you're going to tell yourself that you're in the greatest shape ever because you need to get it in your mind. You need your mind is what's going to drive you. Okay. And I think that quote, you're going to hear that. Oh, I can't believe Alex Ovechkin. He looks like he's in the greatest shape of his entire life.
Yeah.
Hogwash.
So that's the most overused one. Best shape of your life.
That is, you are going to have that one. I mean, you're going to hear that from every single city that's playing right now. There's going to be whether it's the coach or whoever, whether it's players talking about different players, you're going to hear that overused. Oh, this guy is in unbelievable shape. The best shape ever. You're going to hear it all the time. Overused.
Okay. Overused, best shape all over. And then last but not least, this is I stole this from Eric Engels. He's a Montreal writer. I want to say he writes for D. Let me just say here. He's a sports columnist for Rogers Sportsnet in Montreal. He put a tweet out that basically said, retweet for Weber's beard and like for Tage Thompson's beard. I don't know if you saw a picture of Shea Weber yesterday and a picture of Tage Thompson, but those two have got a very thick beard. Now, it's not Elliot Friedman's beard, but still. So I'm asking you this or that. Which one has the better looking beard, Shea Weber or Nate Thompson? This or that?
I ain't gonna tell you right now. They both look greasy. They both look they're moving into Joe Thornton, Brett Burns territory. It takes a long time to get your beard to be looking like that. I'm gonna have. They both are pretty greasy looking beards, but I'm gonna have to go with the Shea Weber. He looks more and more like Brent Burns, and I'm not sure if that's a good thing right now with that beard. But I like the camouflaged hat that Shea Weber is wearing. He's sitting in front of the media doing a press conference, and he's got the Canadiens logo in the back, but he's got the nice camouflaged hat with the beard. It looks good. I'm gonna go with Brent. I was just about to say Brent Burns. I'm gonna go with Shea Weber on this.
Okay, well, by the way, Shea Weber is not at practice today for the Montreal Canadiens. No updates yet as to if he was unfit to practice or unable to practice, which is the new norm for the NHL now. They're not gonna say anything. And on that note, we are going to take a little break. Rivs, good stuff on the David Pastrnak argument for most outstanding player this year. But because I have the last word right now, I'm still going to say I think McDavid should have been the top three. And we are going to take a break here on the Instigators on WGR 550 Sports Radio.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
2 minute warning.
Welcome back to the Instigator. One Bills Live is next. We only have a couple of minutes here, but we're going to talk about this tomorrow, Rivs, about Down Goes Brown and The Athletic has a article that says 5 NHL moments that would not have been the same without fans. We all know the league is starting again August 1st, but no fans. We'll talk about it more tomorrow, but is there one moment without fans that maybe stick in your mind that you're like, man, that would never have been the same if there was an empty building?
No question about it. There's lots, but there's one in particular that I remember. If you remember back, I think it was like early 2000s, Steve Sullivan. This is a Northern Ontario boy that I played my hockey against my entire life. Steve Sullivan in that game against the Avalanche ended up getting hit in the face
last
and was
minute
bleeding.
Of play in the show.
And as he, as the trainer came out, he was wiping his face. There was a fan on the other side of the glass that was taunting Steve Sullivan because he had basically cut himself. Yep. And Steve was extremely upset with this fan. Well, karma happened. During the later part of the game, a puck went over the glass, hit the fan in the face. The guy was bleeding from his head as his wife's trying to cover the gash with her hand, and Steve Sullivan skated by and gave him the old pointing at his head and the blood, and the fan lost it. It was incredible to see. It was the greatest karma from a player to a fan ever.
The fan lost it, but the girlfriend or the wife was very amused by it. So that was amazing. I'll tell you this. For me, game six of the 06 conference finals, when we beat Carolina in overtime, the building was about to come down. It was amazing. So we'll talk about it tomorrow. One Bills Live is next. Thanks a lot, Rivs. We'll see you tomorrow.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.